Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Morning, Alice.
Morning, Rachel. How are you going?
I'm going well. How are you?
Cannot complain. The sun is shining. It's actually been gorgeous. I'm loving how like huge and fluffy my hair is due to the humidity. But I'm constantly a sweaty mess.
Yes, it's moving into that season where I remember that Auckland is above the subtropic line, and it really starts to show that at this time of the year.
Especially on the sweaty upper lip.
It is a very particular time. Hey, we've got a sort of a notice that we can start off with. What's happening in the theatre world today?
We just thought we should start the kōrero off by acknowledging that the Basement Theatre on Grays Ave will be closed for the rest of this year. So I just wanted to big shout out, big love and afi to Kei Ruka, Nisha Madan, Helen Sheehan and the whole team at the Basement Theatre who've made a really hard call, but that's to say, look, we're going to keep our doors closed for the rest of the year, which is obviously due to a number of contributing factors, but also, you know, like I think sometimes through that kind of defined leadership and definitive decision making, it really opens up for space for us to think about other things. So yeah, just wanted to send them some love, and for anyone listening wants to send them some love, I think they'd really appreciate it, because it has been a bloody hard time, not just for the Basement, but for all of our beloved venues in Tamaki Makaurau. But
totally.
I think given that's just been announced in the last 24 hours, it's probably good to just give them a little squeeze.
I saw on their post as well that they were like, you know, there's a lot of reasons that this is sad, not least of all because that means the famous Basement Theatre Christmas show won't be going ahead. And I gotta say, the Basement Theatre does put on a great sort of bawdy Christmas panto situation every year. So yes, lots of aroha to everybody in that community and more broadly too, because it is a tricky old time.
Yeah, it is. And maybe this can be a lovely provocation to everyone to make your own Christmas pantomime this year. Look, there's nothing to stop us from just taking a couple of provocations of, you know, just put X's last Christmas and you just fill in the blank, kind of like one of those Mad Libs, and then just improvise your way out of it for the family and flatmates.
I have a lot of cousins, and that has always been like a hallmark of our Christmases growing up, was the like childhood Christmas panto. We're all huge extroverts and massive show-offs as well, so it's quite chaotic, but a lot of fun.
I would actually pay money to go to Rachel Ashby's family Christmas panto. Like,
Rachel's,
if you're selling tickets.
Christmas.
Yeah, Rachel's.
God, I hope not.
God, that's grim as hell. Look, just tell me if you're going to be streaming that one, babes, because I would love to get my hands on a
I'll send you
link
the link.
To that.
Yeah. we were talking last week about how people go about putting on their own theatre shows, and this is kind of like something to maybe think about if you have been sort of like over this period of lockdown time thinking about creative ideas. Maybe the idea of like putting on a show is something you've always wanted to do, but it's not felt really possible for you. Last week we spoke a bit about how you'd kind of get an idea off the ground, and I think where we got to was approaching theatre spaces and finding the right space that might fit the work and the community you're trying to service. So where do you go from there, Alice, in creating a piece of theatre or a show?
Oh, well, there's infinite possibilities of places you could go, but I think it's probably good to just speak to like the team, curating your team. I think that's a kind of a critical part, because you can't make theatre singularly, even a solo show. I mean, I've made solo shows over my career, and there's always been, you know, about four or five at the minimum practitioners attached to those kinds of work. So curating your team is really critical, because just like anything, when you're trying to sell tickets, you're trying to perform in the show, you're trying to direct the show, you're trying to do media engagements, there's only one of you and many other things. So I guess the role of the creative producer has really
sort of blossomed, I'd say, in New Zealand's independent theatre scene in the last 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. Creative producers working alongside the team to really deliver. And that's about finding, so finding your people. I mean, obviously casting, if you're doing a show that requires performers, as well as your, well, not as well as, but your creative and your technical team as well. So we're talking your lighting designers and your sound designers and your technicians, operators.
Where do you go? If you don't know people, if this is, you know, your first ever sort of foray into this, how do you sort of find those people? Because I guess in one sense, finding actors is maybe more straightforward if you are wanting to move into this space. But, you know, all that technical stuff can be a little bit, seem almost inaccessible to some people. How would you go about suggesting to someone they find people who work in that field?
Good question. Bumble?
Bumble for theatre techs.
Oh my God, this, I feel like I'm landing on an idea here. There's this, it's a service for matching creatives. No, but seriously. Yes, good question. So I guess because technical, so you've got entities like ETNZ, which is Entertainment Technology New Zealand, and those sorts, and that they obviously have a really huge contact list. In Auckland alone, there are hundreds of technicians. We're at a crunchy time at the moment. Pre-pandemic and kind of mid-pandemic, what we were actually facing in terms of a crisis in our industry was that a lot of these technical roles were moving into film or into other, you know, like corporate technical jobs or venue tech jobs, which actually takes them out of the game. So just speaking to something entirely different there. There are plenty of Facebook groups available where people are going, hey, I'm available, yep, or people can sort of do the equivalent of, look, I'm looking for. Places like venues also tend to also have freelancers or contractors that will actually work in the venues themselves semi-regularly. So, you know, like if you're working at a place and you need a lighting designer or a technician and you work with someone who knows the rig already, that also
can
will
be
save
very helpful.
Time.
Yeah,
absolutely. Or they know the equipment, so they're going to go, yes, we know they've got this, this and this. They all know each other. They is such an exclusionary term. We all know each other. So even simply reaching out to your, you know, classic lighting design type people and going, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Because just like any job, not everyone's going to want or be available to do everything. So, if you're working with program managers or venues, they are very helpful at providing personnel suggestions. So you've got your team together and then obviously you start to rehearse or doing whatever you do. That pre-production timeline in a short lead is, you know, let's say you're working to a 3-month timeline there. You've got to really map your marketing and stuff alongside the actual rehearsing and the making of the work. So that's why I think these roles like producers are critical. A lot of artists, I mean myself included in this, we are self-producing artists. Yes, we may have the capability to produce. Does that mean we have the capacity? Nah. Especially if we are performing in the work.
It's
or,
a lot, yeah. Yeah. You can only wear so many hats at one time.
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes artists like to do a lot of that pre-production producing themselves, which might mean like media releases and blurbs and really communicating clearly who the audiences are, what, you know, the posters, all that kind of stuff. I mean, particularly if you like to have your eye over the aesthetic of your entire and the engagement strategy of your entire work. So there's that. I guess as you're sort of running into the actual show itself, lots of things to consider there, one of which is media and audience engagement. Now, we're currently sitting in, and you guys obviously are no strangers to this, we're sitting in a landscape right now where, in New Zealand particularly, arts and culture cover
coverage is very limited. Like, you know, I would say 5 years ago, if I put out a media release for a show I was doing, I could guarantee that I could get a really good selection of coverage across numerous types of platforms, etc., including print reviews, which just don't happen anymore.
So is this one of those things where you kind of, I mean, there's official places you can go, there's channels you can reach out to, but maybe this is where you kind of, if you've got someone who's good at this, one of your friends who can help you out, or someone on your crew can help you out, getting a bit creative with how you get yourself out there is maybe a useful part of this process?
Absolutely, and this is as well why I think producing is as much of an art form, not in isolation, but you know, like ways in which you can communicate what it is that you're wanting to make, why it's important people should see it, and how they can see it in as you know, 25 words or less or whatever. And you know, we're becoming a little bit more savvy at how we brand ourselves as artists, I guess we kind of have to with social media and such. So yeah, absolutely, and sometimes it's you unsuspect friends that are just really good at, you know, like if you've got a mate who's bloody good at putting on a good party,
they could be the one, they could be the friend that helps you make this happen, eh?
Totally. And you know, just like things like planning a wedding or a funeral or whatever, you know, there are some things that you should probably do, but there are lots of delightful things that might surprise and indulge your audience that your cool friend might think, like, wouldn't it be great if we put a little treaty bag on each of the chairs? Actually, gosh, wouldn't that be nice? When was the last time you went to the
theatre? It's like a kid's birthday party. You get a little, yes. Get a little bag of sweets when you leave or something.
God, Alice, I would love that.
Alice, I reckon we might even have to three-part this and next week talk about what happens when you're in the theatre itself, because we could talk about this all day and I would love that, but we do have to play some tunes as well. How do you feel about doing a... Now we've got our show together, this is how you kind of make the week of performance happen next week.
I love that. And you know what? I absolutely... The theatre, like for me, sitting in a dark box is my ultimate happy place. And so if we can savour this, I would... I mean, it's just like me... It's like me creatively edging for the rest of this week. So it would be my absolute pleasure and privilege.
Fabulous.
To talk about that next week.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you so much, Alice. I hope you have a lovely week between now and then. Take care, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Awesome. Thanks, team.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.